Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you once again as we move forward in God's Word. It's been a minute. Was not able to be here yesterday morning because it stormed on Sunday where I am in Baltimore. The way we were told is it was nice that my granddaughter's graduation would be at 7 o'clock or 6:30 on Sunday evening, but Monday morning was a rain date, and so the graduation went on without fail yesterday morning. It was beautiful. She did great. She graduated today from John Hopkins University, so shout out to my granddaughter, Leah. So please shout her out today. If you know Leah, give a shout out. So grateful that Leah has made it into adulthood. She's now having to do the things that all of us have to do. Working babyhood. Hallelujah. But most of all, what we do is give honor to the Most High God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. So I'm grateful to be a child of God this morning. Grateful to know that my God can supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Not mine, but His. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful today. As I tell you, every morning I'm thankful. I'm grateful and I'm blessed to be with you because that meant God gave me another day and a do-over. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning thankful that you woke us up and gave us another day. Grateful that no thieves broke in and no fires broke out. And blessed to be your sons and daughters, knowing that we are surrounded by our angels of protection. Father God, if you get ready to go through this way this morning, let us never forget that you are in charge of everything. You are a provider. You provide everything we need and more than we could ever want or ask for. Lord God, I lift up this word to you this morning, asking you, Father, to increase as I decrease, asking you, Lord God, to hide me behind your wings, O Father, in the cliff of the rock, that you may take over, Lord God, increasing as I decrease, letting your words, O Lord, not mine. So, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, O Lord God, are my strength. You are my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? No one, because I know, Lord God, that you are providing all my needs according to your will, not mine, in glory. And my need today, Lord God, is for you to speak to me. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up this word, believing and trusting that you will speak for me and that you will continue providing the bread of life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praising God for all blessings, Lord. From him, all creatures, give you, Lord. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm praising God this morning, and I pray that you are praising him with me. Oh, glory to God in the highest this morning. So anyway, as I was saying, I am in Baltimore, Maryland, so I got my times all messed up this morning. Actually, it was Sunday, trying to get ready for this vlog, and then I got tickled because Blog Talk is wiser and smarter than I am. So I sat down and set my time for 7, which is 8 o'clock this time. So I'm up at 6 o'clock, ready to go on air to blog, because I'm like, well, it's 6 o'clock my time, so it'll be 7 o'clock their time. All right, whatever. Like, I thought it was 7 o'clock on 8 o'clock. And so what happened is, our guy said, no, dude, you're all off. You don't go on until 8 o'clock your time, 7 o'clock, because it's the time of the show up for the third time, which was for 7 o'clock central time. And so it's 8 o'clock, actually 8:05 a.m., because Blog Talk and God are wiser than I am. So I'm getting up early because I'm thinking, okay, it's going to start at an hour behind me. And so I know that it's got to be on time and blah, blah, blah. And God's like, well, please, so I'm about to sleep. So I thank God for giving me that extra hour that I wasn't expecting, because I thought it would be 7 o'clock my time, 6 o'clock your time, that she would say it would start, and that's how it happened. So I'm grateful. I am very grateful that God is wise. So family, let's get started. And we have a good, well, we have a lot of word today, because we will be doing yesterday's word as well as today's word. So we will be slightly longer, just so we can get all of our word in, the word for yesterday and for today, because more word and more prayer gives us more power, because the word of God has told us to meditate on God's word day and night, and you can't meditate on it if you don't know it. So we got to get to know the word of God. And so, again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me this morning as we move forward in God's word. And I thank you all for taking the time to study with me as we study the word of God, which is important in our life. So the question is, are you throwing stones today? You know, it's so easy to judge and talk about everybody and throw stones like it's nobody's business, waving them in the air like you just don't care. You know, hitting willy-nilly whoever doesn't deserve to get knocked out and even something to do. But it's not our place to judge. It's not our place to judge. But we do it anyway. Not our place to judge our brothers. Not our place to judge our brothers and sisters. It's not our place, not our time. It's just something to think about. It's when you get ready to throw in your judgment collar, like you think you are the judge. You know, I'm the, what was that show? I think it was Flip Wilson back in my day. I know I'm old, but I'm a kid. I'm not even claiming old, but I think it was Flip Wilson back in the day on the Flip Wilson show, and he come out there, he comes to judge, she comes to judge. Everybody knows that I am the judge, but we are not the judge. It's not our place to judge anybody, because who made us God? You know, who made us God? You know, I'm listening to so much going on in our world, and I'm thinking, Lord, what's done for God? Who belongs to who? And who is the judge? And it's not anybody but you. You know, yes, we have judges that are supposed to do their job. Yes, we have folks that are lawyers and attorneys and judges. That is a whole different ballgame than spiritual judgment. You know, I hear so many times, I've heard different groups talk about, well, if such and such, we're going to have Sharia law. And, you know, most people have no clue what that is. And the question becomes, are we trying to set it up, not but set us up as a nation into a nation of Sharia law. Are we doing it here in our own nation? Are we becoming like other nations, but with a Christian bent? I would like to say a so-called Christian bent, because so many folks who love to judge and throw stones claim to love God, but when you start asking them what's in the book, they get ticked. You start asking them, what does the Lord say? They can't tell you. So we have to understand that God is in charge of everything. Not me, not you, not us. So the question again I asked this morning, are you throwing stones? Let's get into our word, because we understand that David and his family had to flee from his son, because his son decided, I'm not waiting until my father died to become king. I'm going to become king right now. Why? Because he didn't do anything when my sister was raped. He let the perpetrator get away with it. He let my sister be in shame, and he's supposed to be her father too, and it messed him up seeing what happened to his little sister by someone who was supposed to protect her, but instead he lusted after her and then hated her later and made her feel like she was my sin. So being a big brother, he set it up to kill Amon. And he killed Amon and was in exile from his father and family for a time. And then when he finally was able to come back in, he set it up that he made himself known by everyone coming in to be judged. And they fell in love with him because he was handsome. He had some pretty hair, weighing a whole bunch of shekels when he cut it off once a year. So he was fine, as the girl would say. He was fine. Epsilon was fine. But Epsilon had some issues. He has some daddy issues. And so now he has a covetous spirit of, I'm taking over. This is going to be my kingdom. My dad needs to back it. I will have him killed. Now there are those that want to kill David. But David got his own person in the camp, in Absalom's camp, that's keeping things from going all crazy. So let's get started. Come and join me in 2 Samuel chapter 15, starting at verse 1. And it says that after this happened, that Epsilon provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now Epsilon was raised early and stand beside the way to the gate. I'm just kind of giving you an overview. This is from Sunday's Word. And it goes on to say, so it was whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king, what decision that Epsilon would call to him, and he says, what city are you from? And he would say, your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel. And Absalom would say to him, look, the case is this. And like, if there is no deputy of the king to hear you. Moreover, Absalom would say, on that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, then I would give him justice. And so it was, whenever anyone came in to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. the Ephraim stole the heart of the men of Israel. Now it came to pass after 40 years that Ephraim said to the king, please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord. For your servant took a vow while I dwelt in Israel. And seriously, if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. Now that's a vow. Remember what that vow was we talked about a while ago about making vows. Is that something you don't do unless you plan on keeping those vows? And as we continue in our word, we're going to go over to 2 Samuel chapter 17. And it says this, now Ephraim is asking his prophet, Ahithophel, what to do. And so it says, moreover, Ahithophel said to Ephraim, now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid, and all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king. Then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace and the same. Please, Ephraim, all the elders are in the same. Please, Ephraim, and all the elders of Israel. Then Ephraim said, now call Hashai, the archite, who also underneath here was he says to me. And when Hashai came to Ephraim, Ephraim spoke to him, saying, Ephraim spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says and not? He said, Hashai said to Ephraim, the advice that Ephraim has given is not good at this time. For said Hashai, you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men. They are enraged in their mind like a dead rod of the cut in the field. And your father is a man of war and will not kill him with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place. And it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first that whoever hears it will say there is a sorrow among the people who follow Ephraim, and even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. Therefore, I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you, condemned to pursue the life of sin that is by the sea, the multitude, and that you go to battle in person, that he will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and he will fall on him as the dew falls in the ground, on the ground. And of him and all the men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as a one. Moreover, if he has withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring rope to that city, and we will pour it into the river, that there is not one small stone down there. So Ephraim, all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hashai the Ahithophite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord has proposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on them. Then Hashai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, thus said, so Ahithophel advised Ephraim and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore, speak quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed at Engel, for they dared not be seen coming into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Ephraim, the both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. Then the women took and spread the covers over the well's mouth and spread grain around on it, and the things were not known. And when Absalom's servant came to the women of the house, they said, where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan? So the woman said to him, they have gone over the Carolina, but and when they had searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass after days had departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said to David, arise and cross over the water quickly, for death has sent the fell advised against you. So David and all his people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them but that were not gone over the Jordan. Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey, arose, and went home to his house, to this city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried in his father's tomb. Now when you can't do it, somebody don't do what you say, you know, because you're trying to get somebody, you're throwing them stones. The Ahithophel was throwing stones at David and telling his son, always just kill him. That's always just kill him. And when his advice wasn't taken, you know, get mad, take his ball home. Sound like a little bad kid. Well, if I can't play, then I'm taking my ball and I'm going home so nobody will get to play. And so that this man does, he goes and commits suicide because he was a Jew. Remember, David helped him. David took care of him. David made him a priest. And then he's going to turn against David. Come on now. He got his own reward because he will not spend eternity with the Lord. Because he chose a coward's way out by committing suicide. And then it goes on to say, and no offense to any family who has lost a loved one to suicide. Because we don't know what demons they were fighting. Because it takes demons to make you do stuff like that. So I pray for them and I pray for their souls. Because only God knows truth. Because anyone, and it's only God, that will be the judge, not me. So I have no hell or no heaven to send anybody who I want to. So I repent and say, if you have a loved one that has committed suicide, I pray with you that God knows your heart and that it was not a short and they did. Got that demon is in him and told him to. So we got to pray for the removal of those spirits that will cause you to want to harm yourself. In Jesus' name, we lift up everyone and pray. And as we continue in our word, it says, and David went to Ammon, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. This Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Jethro, an Israelite who had gone into Abigail, the daughter of Nabash, sister of Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Israel. Now it happened when David had come to Manahem that Shobai, the son of Nahash, the robber of the people of Ammon, Michal, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar and Barzelia, the Gileadite from Rosalind, by dead and basins, earth and desert, and wheat barley and flour. Parched grain and beans and tomatoes and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd, the David and the people who were with him to eat. And they said, these people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. And David numbered the people who were with him and took captains of thousands, captains of hundreds over them. And David sent out 1/3 of the people under the hand of Joab, 1/3 under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and 1/3 under the hand of Ittai, the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I also will surely go out with you myself. But the people answered, you shall not go out, but if we flee away, they will not care about us, nor if half of us die, people that care about us, but if you are for 10, you are worth 10,000 of us now. So you are now more help to us in the city. Then the king said to them, whatever seems best to you, I will do. So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and by thousands. Now the king had commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young men of the land. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captain's orders concerning Absalom. So the people went out into the field of battle against Israel, and the battle was in the woods of Absalom. The people of Israel were overthrown there before the servants of David, and a great slaughter of 20,000 took place there that day. So the battle there was scattered over the face of the whole countryside, and the woods devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Then Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom rode on wheels. The mule went under the thin bars of a great cedar tree, and his head caught in the cedar, so he was left hanging between heaven and earth. And the mule, which was under him, went on. Now captain, a certain man, saw it and told Joab, and said, I just saw Absalom hanging in a cedar tree. So Joab said to the man who told him, you just saw him, and why did you not strike him? Said, to the ground, I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt. Then the man said to Joab, though I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, I would not raise my hand against the king's son. But in our hearing, the king commanded you, and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware lest anyone touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I would have dealt falsely against my own life. But there is nothing hidden from the king, and you yourself would have set yourself against me. And Joab said, I cannot mingle with you. And he took 3 spears in his hand and thrust them through Absalom's heart while he was still alive in the midst of the cedar tree. And 10,000 young men who were Joab's army surrounded Absalom and struck and killed him. So Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel. But Joab went back to the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a large pit in the woods and laid a very large heap of stones over him. Then all Israel fled, everyone to his tomb. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up a pillar for himself, which is in the king's valley. But he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. He called the pillar after his own name, and to this day it is called Absalom's monument. Then Amaz, the son of Zadok, said, let me run now and take the news to the king. Now the Lord has avenged him of his enemy. And Joab said to him, you shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day. But today you shall take my news, because the king's son is dead. Then Joab said to the Cushites, go to the king. For you have seen, so the Cushites bowed themselves to Joab and ran. And Amaz, the son of Zadok, said again, said again to Joab, but whatever happens, let me also run after the Cushites. So Joab said, why will you run, my son, since you have no news ready? But whatever happens, he said, let me run. And so he said to him, run. Then Amaz ran by way of the plains and outran the Cushites. Now David was standing between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running along. Then the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he is wrong, there is news in his mouth. And he came rapidly and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman said to the gatekeeper, said, there is another man running along. And the king said, he also brings news. Then the watchman said, I think the running of the first is like the running of Amaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and comes with goodness. So Amaz called out and said to the king, I was there. And he bowed down with his face to the earth before the king and said, blessed be the Lord your God, who has delivered up the man who raised their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man acting on a state? And my answer, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, your servant was, I saw a great garment, but I did not know what it was about. And the king said, turn aside and stand here. So he turned aside and stood still. And then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, there is good news, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who arose against you. And the king said to the Cushite, if the young man acted on faith. The Cushite answered, may the enemies of the Lord the King and all that lies against you do no harm. Do like the young man. And the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber of the faith, and that as he went, he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Now understand, Absalom tried to take his daddy's place, but now you are weeping and wailing because your son is dead. Who tried to take your place? Who tried to kill you? Who wanted you dead, but you weep for him more than your own dead who were protecting you? So David doesn't realize he's getting ready to cause a conflict within those that have supported him because he's having a moment about the death of his son. But then, as I said, who is about to cast the first stone? How would you feel if your child died? So he's in conflict. He's in spiritual conflict. He's in parental conflict because Absalom, regardless of how he was his son first. And he loved him. And that's what people forget. He loved Absalom. It hurt him that he did what he did, but he still loved his son. And he mourned for his son. Absalom, my son. And folks want to judge that and say, no, that's just wrong. They worked for him, they fought for him, and now he is giving all this credit to his dear son. He didn't do anything but try to help him. But then if you go open the way, it says in 2 Samuel chapter 19, and Joab was told, behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom. So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people. But the people heard him and said that day, the king is weeping for his son. And the people fell back into the city that day as people who are ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried out with a loud voice, oh, my son, Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Then Joab came into the house of the king and said, today you have disgraced all your servants, who today have saved their life. The lives of your sons and daughters, the lives of your wives, the lives of your concubines, and that you love your enemies and hate your friends. But you have declared today that you regard me the prince, my servant. But today I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, then it would have pleased you well. Now therefore arise, go out and speak comfort to your servant. For I swear, by the Lord, if you do not do so, and not one will stay with you this night, and that it will be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now. Then the king arose and stood in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, there is the king sitting in the gate. So all the people came before the king, for everyone of Israel had fled to his tent. Now all the people were in a dispute throughout the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us from the hand of our enemies. He delivered us from the hand of the Philistines, and now he has fled from the land because of Absalom. But Absalom, whom we anointed over us, has died in battle. Now, therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing back the king? So King David sent to Zadok and Abathar the priest, saying, speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? Since the words of all Israel have come to the king to his very house, you are my brethren, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king and say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God, do so to me and more also if you are not commander of the army before me continually in place of Joab. So he swayed his heart of all the men of Judah, said, as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word to the king, return you and all your servants. And the king returned and came to the Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to escort the king across the Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Benjamin, who was from the Aram, heard him, came down with the men of Judah next in gate. There were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Levi, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over the Jordan before the king. Then a ferry boat went across the ferry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And as we continue now, it says, now Shammai, remember, Shammai was throwing them stones. When they was going swing, he was the one that was throwing stones at David and his men and his family and cursing him. What is it? He was the all that, and David just said, leave him alone. Let him do what he's going to do. But he was throwing stones. He was cursing. He was tearing them apart on their departure. Now let's see what he's doing now. Now Shammai, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, do not let my lord dispute iniquity to me. I remember what wrong your servant did on the day that the Lord and the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. While I, your servant, know that I have sinned. He repented. He repented of the stones he was stolen. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet the Lord, the king, and Abasha, the son of Zerah, as it says, shall my Shammai be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord in mourning. And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zerah, that you should be a servant to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For I do not know that today I am king over Israel. Therefore the king said to Shammai, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. Not Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes. From the day the king departed until the day he returned in peace, so was when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself, and I may ride on it and go to the king, because your servant is slain. And he has slandered your servant to my lord and king, but my lord the king is like an angel of God. Therefore do what is good in your eyes, for all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore what right have I still to cry out anymore to the king? And the king said to him, why do you speak anymore of your manners? I have said to him, do the divide the Lord. And Mephibosheth said to the king, let him take it all. Inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house. And Barzali the Gileadite came down from Rizorim and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now Barzali was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Menahem, where he was a very rich man. And the king said to Barzali, come across with me. come across with me, and I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. Barbara Zali said to the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and the bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the words of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king. And why should the king return me with such a reward? Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant, Shimhon, Kahim, that's it. Let him cross over with my lord the king and go for him, and do for him what he did to you. And the king answered, Kahim shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what he did to you. Now, whatever you request of me, I will do for you. And all the people went over the Jordan, and then the king crossed over. The king kissed Azali and prayed and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. Now this man is old, but David is old, because remember, he reigned after Absalom came, went and killed Amon 40 years, and he reigned longer than that. So I understand David was old. He was an old man. And as we continue in this way, it goes on the same. And it says, now the king went on to kill God, and Kahim went on with him, and all the people of Judah, as well the king, and also half the people of Israel. Just then, all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, why have our brother, the men of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king to his household, all David's men with him across the Jordan? So all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is a close relative of ours. Why then are you angry over this man? How have we ever eaten at the king's expense? I had you given us in the gift. And the men of Israel said, we have 10 shares in the king, therefore we also have more right to David than you. Now these men are arguing over the king, over who can be the king's servant, who can be in his place, who can be in his presence. You know, come on. That's like the same kind of stuff that goes on in churches. So I think the pastor should be a part of this auxiliary, and I think pastors should work with this group and not with that group, and all these silliness. You know, it does not bode well with this group of people. But they're fighting over the king of Israel. He's the king of Judah. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of all of you. Come on, let's keep going. And it says, then do you despise us? We were not the first to advise bringing back our king, yet the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. And there happened to be there a rebel whose name was Sheba, the son of Berachiah, a Benjamite, and he blew a trumpet and said, we have no share in David, nor do we have the inheritance of the son of Jesse, every man to his kingdom of Israel. So every man of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah from the Jordan, as far as remained loyal to the king. Now David came to his house of Jews, and the king took the 10 women, his concubine, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in a secluded in seclusion and supported them, but did not go into them, so they were shut up to the day of their death, living in the widowhood. He just said, I'm done. But remember, what happened to those 10 concubines was a prophetic word to David. I'm Nathan, who told him that what was done in the dark would be in the light. He and Bathsheba did their thing in the dark, but what Absalom did with the concubine was in the light. And so he had to kind of step them away. And so it goes on next day. He put him in the widowhood. And the king said to Amasa, assemble the men of Judah for me within 3 days and be present here yourself. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah. But he delayed longer than the set time which David had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, now Sheba, the son of Baal, of Barcelos, would do us more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servant at the sin, lest he find himself 45 cities in space, as said Joab, men with the Cherahites and the Philistines. And the other mighty men went out after him, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, the son of Barakah. When they were at the large stone which is Gibeon, Amasa came before them. Now Joab was dressed in battle armor. On it was a belt with a sword fastened in its reach and added it. And as he was going forward, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, are you in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not notice the sword that was in Joab's hand. And he struck him with it in the stomach, and his entrails poured out on the ground, and he did not strike him again, that he died. So Joab's like, hey, I'm not giving up my position. He didn't cast stones, he just killed folks. And then it says, then Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Sheba, the son of Barakah. Meanwhile, one of Joab's men stood near Amasa and said, whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, follow Joab. But Amasa wallowed in his blood in the middle of the highway. And when the men saw that all the people stood still, he moved Amasa from the highway to the field and threw a garment over him. And he saw that everyone who came upon him halted, and he was removed from the highway. All the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba, the Barakah. Then he went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel and Beth Matai and all the Barites. So they were gathered together and also went after Sheba. Then they came and received them in Abel Meth Matai. And they cast a prestige mat against the city. And it stood by the ramp, and then all the people who were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then a wise woman called out from the city, hear, hear, please say to Joab, come nearby that I may speak with you. And he had come near to her. The woman said, are you Joab? He answered, I am. The woman said to him, hear the words of your maidservant. And he answered, I am listening. So she spoke, saying, they used to talk in former times, saying, they shall surely see guidance at Abel. And so they would end the speech. I am among the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not so. But a man from the mountains of Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Barakah, my name, has raised his hand against the king, against David, deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said to Joab, watch his head will be thrown to you over the wall. Then the woman in her wisdom went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Barakah, and threw it over to Joab, and he blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem, and Joab was over all the army of Israel. Then Benaiah, the son of Joadiah, was over the Tekarahites and the Pilatites. Adoram was in charge of the revenge. The revenue, Jehoshaphat, the son of Elihu, was recorded. Sheba, the scribe, and Zadok, and Abathar were the priests. And Ira the Gerite was chief minister under David. And that is our Old Testament word this morning. And as we get into our New Testament work, we are talking about throwing stones and signs and wonders that can only come from God. And as we go into our seventh chapter of John, it says, when Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am with him, and he sent me. Therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not come yet. And many of the people believed in him, and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these with the man who has done? The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests and officers attacked him. Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am you cannot find. Then the Jews said amongst themselves, where does he intend to go, that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersed among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he said, you will seek me and not find me, and where I am you cannot come? On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus said and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him will receive. But the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Did y'all catch that? The Holy Spirit had not been given to mankind because Jesus had not been glorified. That's a highlightable lesson to think about. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard the things that truly this is the prophet, others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Had not the scripture said that the Christ came from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, how some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Then the Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But the crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, is one of them. Said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. And everyone went to his own house. In other words, Galilee, really, they the poor people. They're not the educated. They're not the this. They're not the that. You know, folks with their attitude of being better than. That was what they had, a better than attitude, not understanding they were talking about the Son of God. Go to chapter 8 of John. We'll do life lessons and all of those things if time permits at the end of our word. And we are scheduled to end at 7:30 this morning instead of our normal 8 o'clock time. So let's continue. And it says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. We know that was his spot. That was his prayer. That was his closet. He went there and prayed on a regular basis. But Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple. Walking in and out, to and fro. They couldn't say nothing about Jesus. They tried their best. They wanted to get him. But, you know, you weren't like the devil walking to and fro here and there and everywhere. Jesus was who he was. And he was going to meet. Let's keep it here and let's keep it going. And it's good that we know the King of Jesus is going to meet what he is there. But his time had not come yet. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came in, and he said them and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Now, note, it does not say they caught a man and a woman in the act of adultery, but just a woman. But we know that in the Old Testament, because we read it, that it's not just a woman who is to be stoned. It is both of them to be stoned, but they only bought the woman. So then, are you throwing stones? Because they thought they was going to throw some stones today. They thought they was going to get hurt. And let's see what it says. In the very act, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? It's like, we don't get you out. What do you say? What do you say? Jesus is like ready for him. I said, this is where our title comes from this morning. Jesus was ready for them. And it says, okay, what do you say? What do you say when someone wants you to throw some stones? What do you say when someone wants you to get out of line, to get off your square, to do what they want to do, which is to talk about somebody, vilify somebody, put somebody down? Well, you know, such and such and did this and that, and I just thought I have to say, you know, and then they always perfect at this. Well, you know, we need to pray for such and such and such because you know she did this, that, and the other. Now, you asking for prayer for the sister, are you asking to talk about like y'all? You got to stop it. And I'm speaking for not just myself, I'm asking you, are you throwing stones today? But as we read in this word, again, they bought the woman caught in the act. And they say, in the act. How can you be caught in the act? Where's the man? Where's the man? Where's the man you was caught in the act with? And it goes on to say this word. Let's go. It's just this. They said, testament that they might have something of which they're choosing. But Jesus stood down and wrote on the ground for this angel. That's what he did. Well, on the ground. And you think it's a, not Jesus, but no. This woman wasn't caught by herself, just down and stone, and then they just made a stone into it. And she's trying to figure out what's going on. He's trying to. At least that's what they think. But this is right in the ground. It's the same thing, you know. And I think it says, and John was with Philip, who was not his wife. And George was with Greg, who is another man, and that is an abomination to the Lord. Oh, and come on now. Malcolm is sleeping with his brother's wife, and Phyllis is Malcolm's wife, who's sleeping with George. So why are they out here trying to get stones? Come on. Jesus knows all about you and all your business. Oh, and Enoch is stealing from the church children because he is a deacon and we're going to get into it. Come on, man. I'm writing all your things on my finger in the dirt. Come on, man. As though he did not hear. But understand, I believe that as he wrote, only you could see your sins. Not everybody else, but only you could see your sins because he was Jesus. That's just me saying that. That's not in the word. It just says in the word, he wrote with his fingers. So don't start adding stuff. Well, you know, he wrote his fingers. He was writing down all those things. That's what I believe. That's not what it is. So remember that, you know. Sometimes when people preach, we get what they say, but not understanding that sometimes it's out of context. And even I just spoke out of context because it's not in the word when he was writing it to himself. It just is that he wrote in the ground with his finger as though he did not see it. So when they confused asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, Who is without sin among you? Let him throw the stone at her foot. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by the presence, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Then Jesus had raised himself up and no one but the woman. He said, peace and blood. Woman, where are those who accuse of you? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He gave her favor. He gave her a forgiveness of her sins. Just like we are forgiven our sins, he forgave this adulterous woman her sins. That's the favor we serve. And as we continue in our prayer, she said, no, Lord. Well, you're choosing to give me one, Lord. No, Lord. Nobody should have condemned me. No, Lord. Nobody should have stoned me. No, Lord. Nobody should have talked about your mama, your daddy, your brother, and sister, and how you lived as a little girl. No, Lord. No one was there when Jesus spoke to them. Again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Don't you want the light of life? The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Talk about the matter again. Don't stop. Jesus asked me, said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Jesus did not play, but I know where I come from. And where I'm going. But do you know where I come from and where I'm going? You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who brings in witness of myself and the Father who sent me. There's a witness of me. Like, I ain't got time for y'all foolishness. My time is getting short. I got some things to do, and I don't have time for y'all acting up, throwing stones at me. And so then they said to him, where's your father? And he answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And he taught in the temple. Now, I understand you talking all this stuff against someone who has spoken in the temple and everything he spoke was true. Everything he spoke was true. And then as people go and say, and then these words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not come. They could not touch him. They could not touch him because his time had not come. Now, see, in the temple, every day, preaching the word of God, not one time did they try because his time had not come. And yet, when it was time to get them to Judas, they came with clubs and bats and swords. They came ready to fight. And he just said, here I am. Take. Not playing. Not responding. But understanding that it was not your time by Jesus. And I'll be so honest. So the Jews said, well, he killed himself because he said, well, I told you, you cannot come. Now, but let me go back up a verse. And it says, then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. And so the first thing they went to was suicide. Because we have heard that if you commit suicide, you go straight to hell. You have no reprieve. But only God knows the truth, not us, but God. The prophet, not me, not you, but God. And since the Jews said, well, he killed himself. No. And then if you go to verse 23, it says, and he said to them, you are from the meat. I am from above. You are from this world. Jesus, like, I ain't got time to play with y'all. Y'all getting on the last nerve. So let me just tell you like it is. You are from the meat. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. But if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And they say to him, who are you? And Jesus gave them just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But Jesus sent me is truth. I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them as a father. You know, we get caught in our ways that we don't see, we don't hear, we don't understand. We're too busy throwing stones, too busy swinging them stones, like we don't understand anything. But God will hold us all accountable for what we do and what we say. And as we get into our Psalms this morning, we are in Psalms chapter 66, verse 16 through 20. And it says, and hear all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was absorbed with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my faith. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Blessed be the God, not me, not you, but God. And as I love this proverb verse, but we're going to continue in our psalm, and then we'll come back to Proverbs. Psalm chapter 67, verses 1 through 7, it says, to the chief musician on string instrument, a psalm. God be merciful to me and bless me. We don't want God throwing stones at us. And cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations, not just one, but all nations. God is wanting us all. God is wanting us all. And he goes and says, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the people praise you, oh God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall oh, what a word this morning. All the ends of the earth shall fear him. And this is a psalm, this is a proverb that I just love this proverb. And silver hair is a crown of glory, and as a silver-haired lady, hallelujah, I had to let it go because it was overtaking all that color I was putting in my head. And God convicted me one day and asked me, why do you want to be fooled or not? And I thought, I'm not trying to be somebody else, God. I just don't like looking old. And God said, did I not give you every gray hair on your head? Do I not know every number of them that I have given you? So why are you covering up me? Conviction to the core. Conviction to the core. And God quit coloring my hair. And God, as I get older, he's making me look younger. God's amazing. But I still am happy with my silver hair. And this is what it says. The silver hair is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. So my silver hair, brothers and sisters, thank God that your silver hair, and it is found in the way of righteousness. He was louder and we can't get mad at everything. It's better than the mighty. And you will to see it than you who tell it. What a word. What a word, what a word, what a word this morning. And as we continue, says the lot is cast into the lap, but if every decision is from the Lord. Every decision is from the Lord. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with joy. You know, sometimes when you have those families that just create havoc in your life, sometimes it's just better to be by yourself than have to deal with foolishness. But then again, are you throwing stones? We can't throw stones even at our families. We got to pray, lift them up, and keep them moving. Because everything we do, God does right back to us. So we got to be right and righteous in our dealings with each other. Don't let anybody knock you off your sweat at us. Stay straight and say, I got this because God's got me. I know who my daddy is, and I know he loves me. That's all. I know who my daddy is, and I know he loves me. And as we continue my way to the 2 Samuel 18:18, Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up a pillar for himself, which is in the King Valley. Now he died. It says, Absalom left behind a stone monument in his name, and nothing else. Whatever we acquire outside of God will turn to ash. Thank you, Dr. Stanley, for that is a true way. In the 66th Psalm, verse 18, life lessons, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If we refuse to admit to something despite the conviction of the Holy Spirit on our heart, we can have no confidence in prayer and no right to expect a divine yet. God blesses obedience, not stubbornness. God don't play. You know, we can't be stubborn with God. When God says yes, it's yes, it's yes. When God says no, it's no, it's no. So we have to let our yes be yes and our no, no. John 7:3, therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Several times Jesus' opponents wanted to take him by force or eliminate him, but God did not permit any of their plans to succeed until they fit his timing, his timing, his control of all the history. And that was John 7:3. And then we go down, go over back to our Old Testament and David. After all, the faith that's go to John 7:37. if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. What is Jesus? He is living water. And when we drink from living water, whew, everything is refreshed. You feel better about yourself. You feel better about everything you're going through. We're not all bound up. They say that God made us for an intimate relationship with himself. Our deepest needs cannot be met anywhere else but in him. Jesus offers the only satisfaction for spiritual thirst. And that is him, living water. And if you go back to our Old Testament, David is acting up Absalom. Oh, my son, Absalom. Oh, Absalom. Oh, my son. Just all of us. You know, it says the sword continues to allow David to talk. As Nathan has predicted, God promises always come true, whether for blessings or for judgment. Everything that Nathan told David would happen is happening. Nathan told him, and even in the time of Solomon, what happened to the division of Israel and Judah was under Solomon's reign. When Solomon died, Israel broke from Judah, and that was it. It was done. And there was nothing to be done because it was a part of what God had already said would happen. It was a prophetic word coming true. Not when it spoke to the thought, but years and years and years later. But it all came true. Whatever God did, he will do. He will do. Again, God doesn't have to do a thing, but God is the judge. And as we continue to read Psalms 57:1, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And when Dr. Stanley Kelly says, a sinner saved by grace, we all need God's mercy. Not mine, not pastors, not anybody else, but God. We all need his blessings. And life goes much better when his face shines upon us, so why not ask him for all three as the psalmist did? David spoke to God, God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. God be merciful. And as we get into our last word of life lessons before we get into life questions, it says this. And Jesus said, tell the woman, I'll condemn you. What are your accusers? And this is where our title comes from. He was about sinning cast the first stone. So are you casting stones today? Are you throwing it out? Because you stand still. Are you keeping your hands in your pocket? In John 8:11, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. Jesus is gracious and merciful, but he never ceases to be holy. He calls us to a life of holiness and obedience to his Father, and he gives us the spiritual resources we need to walk in righteousness. Wow, what a word. And as we go back into our life testing, the first comes from John chapter 7, verses 28 through 32, or 33, or just 31, where Dr. Sam says, how many signs are enough for those in the crowd who believe in Jesus? He has done enough, they said. When the Christ comes, will he do more signs than those which this man has done? Others are doubtful. They needed more wonders before they could believe. Do you ever feel as if you need a good, obvious sign from God? Do you ever want proof that God is going to do as he said? Would a miraculous gesture convince you that God is going to be faithful? Jesus answered in Luke 15, such a sign they faced was a parable. As the rich man faced the torment of perdition, we know, we're talking the story of Lazarus, the poor
They're not Lazarus, the one raised from the dead, but Lazarus, the fourth, what I call him, the designated, who was poor and a beggar. And even the dogs nursed him more than people. The dogs were the ones who lived in the stores. The dogs were the ones that probably brought him a crumb of food from the rich man's table. He was just poor. He was very poor. But when he died, he wound up in the bosom of Abraham. But the rich man, he had everything imaginable on earth, was in fear, was in perdition. And it says this, and he felt certain that if his brothers had a special messenger, they would take heed of the judgment awaiting them. Therefore, the rich man asked Abraham to send the poor man Lazarus back to earth from heaven to give his brothers the message of salvation. Man, however, Abraham did not honor his request. Whether he revealed a certain truth, if they do not fear Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded to be one raised from the dead. Jesus voiced a similar thing in John 7:28. You both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true. You know Christ and his character. You know that he has the ability and the wisdom to help you after all that. Do you still doubt? People who do not believe God's track record will hardly be convinced by miracles, signs, and wonders. A.W. Tozer has written, the unbelieving mind would not be convinced by any proof, and the worshiping heart needs more. We get all the time. Folks found everything by God. Not doing what they're asked to do by God. Instead, doing their own thing and going their own way. We got to follow the Lord. And what that says the Lord. And as you continue to do, you keep asking for signs in order to believe. And you're asking for the wrong thing. You still look to God. He has been faithful throughout history, and you are most be faithful to you if you need assurances to the trustworthiness of his character. You have a huge treasure trove of references in Scripture. So make your faith sure he will do everything. You can be certain of that. And our last question is just something to think about. And this is just, why does God tell us to avoid evil and sin no more? This is what it says. I just want to give you a few things this morning. Those who hope that God will tolerate a little sinfulness also tend to tolerate sinfulness in themselves, to the point that they do nothing about their sin, even though they recognize it as wrong. But we are all sinful. They say he was without sin, so it was wrong. And nobody could throw a stone, so neither can we. Because you may protest, we all fall short of perfection. True enough, in Romans 3:6, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But recognizing our sin should compel us to do something about it. When we understand that we have sinned, we need to come to the Father and say, I need your forgiveness. Please wash me and make me clean in your sight. When we recognize we have committed a trespass against our neighbors, or that we have sinned against God, we should not gradually brush aside our offense as to say, well, that's just my human nature. Rather, we need to come to God and say, I have sinned, and mercy upon me, transform me, Lord, into the likeness of Christ, so that I want to die to do this again. In Deuteronomy 9:19, you shall put away the evil from among you, and those who remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Centuries later, Jesus told a woman caught in the act of blatant sin, go and sin no more. He didn't throw stones, so why should we? We cannot throw stones at each other. So are you throwing stones today? or are you keeping them in your pocket? Because you know you are sinful too, but none of us are perfect. The only perfect being was Christ. And this is facing the fact that we are sinful creatures is not the same as tolerating sin in our life. The scripture teaches us that God desires for us to hate sin and its consequences and to turn from evil at every opportunity. We are not to imitate evil. We are not to embrace evil. We are not to flirt with evil. We are not to be cautious about evil, curious about evil. Rather, we are to turn our back from it and run from it at full speed. Why does God want you to flee from evil? Because he desires to protect you from sin's terrible consequences. The Lord can look into the future and see what you will reap when you sow something. Remember, you never receive only what you sow as seed of sin. The seed produces a harvest of sinful consequences. Anguish, trials, heartache, adversity, you will receive from your sinful deed a negative consequence, which compounding interest. Sinful seed multiplies just as good seed multiplies. So be careful of throwing stones, because you might get hit with one yourself. And that is our word this morning before we go. Again, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who we have not heard from in a few days. So let's get a word in from our sister and a prayer, and then we are wrapping it up, family. And this is what it says for yesterday. Good morning. No matter how things look right now, know that God is still in control of our life. Stay in peace. And believe that he will always be with you in all situations. And then for this morning, God has great things planned for you, and his promises are yours to enjoy. Find your place in life through him. And we say for those that have left and are leaving, may the Lord watch between me and thee while they're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. But before we get out of here, for those that can stay for a minute or two longer, we have a prayer for this morning. And our prayer for this 23rd day is striving. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest at this 33 and 14. Holy One, you are the longing of every weary heart. I'm tired of relying on my own strength to get by. It's exhausting. I don't have much more to do. My job, my family are suffering because I'm nearing burnout. Lord, I know there must be a better way. Teach me to learn to lean on your presence that provides me with the rest I need. There is no better way than depending on you. God, you know how I tend to try things on my own until I run out of things. I'd rather partner with you in the beginning and be renewed in your presence, as I said. Your way is better, and I want to go. I'm done with striving. And the question for today is this: what can you stop working so hard on at your own? What can you stop working so hard at on your own? So take some time to rest. Take some time to honor God and let God take care of you and all your needs. So he has more riches and glory than you ever did. So thank you all, family. Again, congratulations to all graduates, those that have graduated recently and those that graduate later. Thanking all of you for joining me this morning. I pray you all have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, because God is in charge of everything. And we need not throw one more stone, because none of us are without sin. So put that stone back in your pocket that you want to throw at Sister Susie, because Sister Susie has her throne, her stone, that she was ready to throw at you. So let us all keep our stones in our pockets and know that we have to repent and get everything. Watch and work in your life, family, and have a blessed and wonderful day. In Jesus' name, I lift you all up and ask God to bless you. Just for that. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Have a great and wonderful day. Love you all. Join me tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Central Time. Thank you so much. Take care.